even when we are alone. We should utilize every moment in Krishna consciousness. Before I came down this evening, you know, some of the devotees came earlier before others, and of course it's natural there will be some exchange of greetings and so on. But then they sat down and began kirtan. And I thought, okay, now they have the idea. Now they have the idea. When we get together, we should chant Hare Krishna or just Krishna Katha. And as Srila Prabhupada often said, well, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that by rising and setting, by the rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life of everyone is shortened, except for those who utilize the time in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. And Chandogya Pandit also says that one moment lost cannot be bought back for any amount of gold. Prabhupada would say, okay, it's January 13th, 2012 at 10:47. So that moment, that minute, that moment, you can never buy it back. No matter how much you're ready to spend, you can never buy it back. And so we should use every moment for the best purpose. Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay, a big businessman, a very intelligent person, named Bridgeratan Mota. And he was, I guess every businessman is concerned with accounts, but I visited Mr. Mota's office and he had a whole number of desks with accountants at work. And Srila Prabhupada told him that in the ledger of your life, any time, moment spent in Krishna consciousness is profit. And any time spent outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. So naturally any businessman will want to maximize his profit and minimize his loss. So we should really take it seriously to use every moment. And it's actually very easy to chant if there's devotees. Of course, even alone you can do kirtan, but especially if there's two, three, four devotees, you can do kirtan, or you can chant japa together like we just did, or read and discuss. And that will fill our minds and hearts with Krishna. Krishna consciousness, because we are in a material atmosphere. All around us everything is mundane. I mean, Krishna is everywhere, but as Srila Prabhupada explained, it's like electricity. Electricity is everywhere, but you have to make the connection. Or there's radio waves everywhere, but you have to make the connection with the radio machine, the radio device, and then you can hear. So Krishna is everywhere, but we have to make the connection, and we make the connection through chanting, and chanting and hearing. So, you know, we might think, Well, yes, of course it's easier if there's some senior devotee to lead you, but shouldn't think you need some more senior devotee to lead you. The process is open for everyone, and you just do it. You know, you don't need anyone to like tell you to do it. You just do it, and then you know it becomes easier to become Krishna conscious, and that process cleanses the heart, Chaitodarpana Marjana. And then as the heart is cleansed of anarthas and avidya, we begin to relish the chanting and hearing. You know, like Srila Rupa Goswami prayed that, what can I chant with one tongue and two ears? If I had millions of tongues and billions of ears, then I could begin to chant. So that relish develops by the same process, chanting and hearing. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that for one who is afflicted with the disease of jaundice, sugar candy or rock candy tastes bitter. But the Ayurvedic cure for jaundice is rock candy, and as one takes the cure, one's disease gradually is cured, and then when it's completely cured, you can taste the rock candy as it is, which is sweet like nectar. So in the same way, the disease of the conditioned souls is avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance of who we are, what the goal of life is, what the means to attain it is. We may have theoretical knowledge, I mean, everyone knows we're not the body, but avidya means we know we're not the body, but books tell us and the philosophy says so. But we actually identify with the body. So that's avidya. And because of that ignorance, mainly identifying with the body, thinking I'm the enjoyer, the controller, I'm the proprietor, so we don't relish chanting and hearing about Krishna. We would rather people praise us. But as we continue to chant, that ignorance is destroyed, and we realize we're not the enjoyers, we're not the controllers, we're not the proprietors, but we're actually eternal servants of Krishna. And then we relish chanting and hearing about Krishna because we realize that's our natural position. We're very insignificant. You know, Krishna is infinite and the living entities are infinitesimal, so it's natural that we should glorify Krishna and sing his names and praise him, and we relish it. But before we reach that stage, we have to practice. Even if we don't have that much relish, but it's not even that we don't. I mean, if we experienced it, it was very relishable. But maybe we just don't have the habit. But we should develop the habit whenever we have time. We chant and hear about Krishna, or chant japa, sing bhajans, to kirtan, read books, discuss the philosophy, discuss devotional service, and fill up our time with Krishna. Now, in Grihastha Ashram, people have to work. But even then, as we heard, people can talk about Krishna at work. And of course some, like Dhruva Maharaj, he wants to, you know, sort of write a dissertation about Tama Krishna Goswami, so it'll be directly Krishna conscious. And then, but in the morning and the evening, whenever there's a break, use that time for chanting and hearing about Krishna. And try to keep our life simple. I mean, if they, one can make one's life very complicated, and then it's very hard to find time to chant and hear about Krishna, remember Krishna. You try to keep it as simple as practical, so that we have free time and when and our minds are not too disturbed. And of course, on a regular basis, the best time is the early morning hours, which are in the mode of goodness, and before the day's activities begin, really chant with attention. Some of the devotees' children mentioned doing arti, dressing the deities. That's also a way of remembering Krishna and serving Krishna. So somehow or other, use all of our time. And yeah, it will work. The night, the evening before I left Vrindavan, I visited, you could say, Bhajan Kuchir of one of our god brothers named Ram Das. Ram Das, the head pujari in Los Angeles for many years. He was in a black body. I think some generations of his ancestors were slaves, but he reached a very deep level of surrender and Krishna consciousness. And the day he left, or, you know, within the day of his departure, he visited a number of devotees, including his wife, and delivered more or less the same message to all of them, which was that it's really good on the other side. You can't imagine how good it is. So whatever difficulties you face along the way, don't give up, because it's really good. And, you know, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to tolerate, just persevere. Because you can't even imagine how good it is. So there will be, you know, trials and tribulations. the material world is such, there are always trials and tribulations, upheavals, cataclysms. Sooner or later, pretty much everyone faces them. But we shouldn't give up our efforts in Krishna consciousness, no matter what. But we should persevere, and just whatever it is, just that's why you're climbing a mountain. There might be an avalanche, and you find yourself like buried under a lot of weighty rocks. You just have to sort of like one by one take the rocks off and get up and keep going. And chant whatever the situation. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But we don't talk with praise, jivana marana, in life and death, in happiness and distress. Just keep our consciousness fixed on the goal. In any activity, you keep your consciousness fixed on the goal. The coaches advise their players or athletes or whatever to, to keep the goal in mind, to actually imagine, winning the race, releasing like all their energy and crossing the finish line and hearing the crowd in the stadium cheer and going to the center of the field and getting the gold medal or whatever it is. And so they teach their students to visualize the whole experience and have that goal fix in their mind, and then that helps them to realize their goal. So our goal is Krishna and Vrindavan. So we want to read about Krishna in the Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavatamrita. And that's our goal. By reading about Krishna and his loving relationships with his devotees, we should have that desire that we will also be one of Krishna's devotees. We will also have a loving relationship with Krishna. All the sweetness that the devotees in Vrindavan experience, all the benefits they get by being Krishna's devotees, we can also have. It's not reserved for some select few. It's meant for everyone. And the process is open to everyone, and anyone who follows the process can get the result. Once Srila Prabhupada was commenting on the song Jai Radha Madhava, then Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bhadadari, that if you become a Gopi Jana, one of the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna will lift a mountain to protect you if he has to. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that there are many reasons why we should serve Krishna, why we should surrender to Krishna. One is we're part and parcel of him. He's the whole and we are the parts, so it's natural for the part to serve the whole. And Jive Sarupai Krishna Nityadasat. It's our constitutional position to serve Krishna. So we should serve Krishna because it's our constitutional position. But he said the best reason is Krishna's bhaktavatsalyata, his love for his devotees, his care for his devotees, his support of his devotees, his protection of his devotees. That's the best reason. So if you read the Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Priya Bhagavatamrita, you see how kind and affectionate Krishna is to his devotees. So if we actually become a devotee of Krishna, then we'll get all that affection and all that care and all that love and all that protection and all that support, and that the devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam get. So in order to be, you know, attracted to that goal and to pursue the goal systematically, we have to read about Krishna, hear about Krishna. And the chanting, you know, Harinam, and the hearing Hari Katha go together. Srila Prabhupada mentions it in so many places that you need to do both. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Harikatha is the Swarup Shakti of Harinam. It's like Srimati Radharani is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna. Wherever there's Krishna, there's also Srimati Radharani. So in the same way, discussions of Krishna are the Swarup Shakti of the holy name. And so wherever there is the holy name, there should also be discussions of Krishna. So we have so much to do. I mean, just chanting Hare Krishna can be a full-time engagement. Such as I'm Kirtan and Kirtanya Siddhahari. And reading so many books. So we can't afford to waste time on anything not Krishna or non-Krishna. And if we utilize every moment in Krishna consciousness, then our hearts will be purified, we'll become free from avidya, and we'll relish chanting and hearing about Krishna, and we'll be progressively more attracted to the goal, fixed on the goal, and we will progress steadily towards the goal, and ultimately reach the goal. So that is my main request, that you use every moment, don't waste time. When you get together, yeah, a little formality, but really use that time in the best way. So we don't have that habit, you know, but we can develop that habit, and we should. Hare Krishna. So we do have Mangalachi tomorrow morning, and Jai Singh. He had a son named Madhav Singh. Madhav Singh had two sons. And his two sons were killed in battle against the Muslims. So Maharaj Madhav Singh made like twin temples. One Radha Gopal temple in honor of the one son, or in the memory of the one son, and another Yamuna seat temple in honor or memory of the other son. So when we were in Jaipur recently, we visited those two temples, and we were speaking with the pujari at the Yamunaji temple. He was pretty old, 70, something in his 70s. But he said that every morning for the last 50 years, he's been getting up at 3 o'clock to do his service at the temple. He said if he was just living at home, he would never be able to get up at 3 o'clock. But because he has his service to Yamuna Devi, he's been getting up at 3 o'clock, and he said he's very healthy, and his whole life is auspicious because of his service to Yamuna Devi. And he several times said his faith in the service of Yamunaji. So he had that faith and that motivation. And like I said, on his own, he wouldn't be able to get up at 3 o'clock. So that's why we have temples, we have the Association of Devotees that motivates us. You can do it at home, but it requires more determination and individual strength. It's easier in the temple. And even then, even if we do have a morning program at home, it's still good to come to the temple. There's so many devotees, advanced devotees, and festive activities. So yeah. Even our chanting japa together is more relishable in a group. It was nice to see, I didn't even notice, but you could see Nimai, Madan Mohan, the pharmacist, Madan Mohan? His son Nimai was right behind Satchinanda Swami. There it is, yeah. Ganga Devi from Spain was there, Siddhi Larissa. Yes. And Vrindavan, of the five most potent items of devotional service, one is to reside in Vrindavan. So that's also, if you can do that, take a month out or even 2 weeks, that can have a very profound effect, especially in activities like the Varshana retreat or the Govardhan retreat, Rajamandala Parikrama. But somehow or other, chanting and hearing in the Association of Devotees. And in Vrindavan, magnified 1,000 times. And then in Kartik, it's magnified 1,000 times. So in Vrindavan during Kartik, what's 1,000 times 1,000?
Huh?
1 million. 1 million. So the benefit you get from your spiritual practices is multiplied by 1 million. So that's very profitable. Yeah. And it's something to repeat. You know, like Rajeshwari's done Brajamandala Parikrama 6 times. It's not like you do it once and then sort of, you know, been there, done that. It's something you repeat. It's like eating. You're going to say, well, I've already done that. I don't need to eat again. I know what it's like to eat. I don't need to do that again. But you do, because eating sustains you. So these special spiritual practices, you know, like going to Vrindavan, Vajramala Parikrama, Govardhan Retreat, Parshada Retreat, VIAG, they sustain us and help us when we come back to the more mundane atmosphere. Yeah, so now Sadhu Sangha associating with advanced devotees is also very powerful. So these are the 5. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtana, chanting the holy names. Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Mathura Vas, residing in Mathura Vrindavan. Murti Shadanvita Sevana, worshipping the deity with faith. That's very powerful. That's very important, worshipping the deity with faith. The main point of deity worship is that the deity is a person, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the main thing. Otherwise, but if you have that faith, then that process is very powerful. Hare Krishna.